and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. So the first thing I'd like to talk to you about are the two ways or two paths that it speaks about here. This first gate, it says, is wide. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction or death or suffering. This is the way of the world. This is how the world sees itself and how it sees how it should live. There are no limits, no boundaries. You can just imagine the widest freeway, the widest interstate that you've ever been on, and how it just looks open and everybody's just going as fast as they want. Nobody's in their way. This is the world that we live in. This is what they desire. I know that you've probably heard words like relativism and postmodernism, and all this means, and if you don't know, then you need to understand that what we call the millennials, the young people, they are growing up in a world system that teaches this, that whatever you feel is right isn't just right for you, it is right. So whatever I decide is good is good. If you disagree with that, then that's good. I know that doesn't make sense. I've heard men go to universities and speak to college students who are studying to be engineers and say, if I tell you 1 + 1 = 3, am I wrong? And they'd say, I can't say you're wrong. You're not right in my mind, but maybe in your reality you're right. That just sounds idiotic. But that's their mindset. And so they take the next step and they go, okay, well, what if I can change the realness of mathematics and history, surely I can decide what is good for me and what is right for me. So you can understand how hated we are when we stand up and say, no, there's actually one truth, and it's the truth we believe. They see that as ridiculous. They see it, as Paul says, foolishness to them. So it's this mindset that there are no rules. Nothing is a boundary to them. Lying, sex, money, cheating, whatever. There are no limits. And this made me think of, and I preached a sermon one time about the demon-possessed man. You remember Jesus came to the shore, and they see this demon-possessed man, and he's living among the tombstones. And he's just out of his mind. He's crazy. And the Bible tells us that they had tried to chain this man many times, right? So I just get this mental picture of like handcuffs on him and chains hanging down. They've tried to chain him and he breaks free every time. This is the world system. The world system today thinks we are free. You can't chain us. You can't control us. You can't give us limits. We're going to do whatever we want. But we know with this demon-possessed man who was in control of what he was doing. The demon. The demons in him were controlling him like a little puppet. It may have appeared that man was not going to control him. Man couldn't put boundaries on him. He was going to break all of that, and he was going to do what he wanted to do. But really, it was the demons controlling him. That is this world system. People think that they are living free. People think that they're living without limits, without boundaries, without borders. They're on this wide road, and they can do whatever they want, not realizing that they're actually following the way of Satan. They're following his path. They're actually doing exactly what he would have them to do. I use the analogy of an ant and a spider. Who do you think works harder for food? The ants. The ants work all the time, don't they? They're gathering, they're gathering, they're gathering, they're searching, they're searching. I always feel sorry for the one ant that you see, and he's all by himself. You're like, how far away are you from home, bud? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks about ants in that way. But they work so hard all the time to try to gather food and take it home, and they have to share it with everybody else, right? But what does the spider do? I believe that Satan is cunning enough, he's clever enough, that he's decided the spider has it figured out. Spider makes his web and sits back and waits for the food to come and get caught, and then he destroys it. And our enemy has created a world system, a world pattern that just allows us to think we're doing our own thing, minding our own business, living my life, I'm not hurting anybody, and then all of a sudden we get caught, we get trapped, and it leads to destruction. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about this, the young man walking the street, and the woman starts calling out to him, come lay on my bed, my husband's gone for a long time, he took a bag of money and he won't be gone for a long time. It says this man enters in not realizing that he's about to be destroyed. Paul tries to warn us about this. Romans chapter 12, he says, do not be conformed to this world or to this pattern of this world. Don't allow it to conform you and mold you into what it desires, because it leads to destruction. I love to fish. I tend to like to go bass fishing. My brother-in-law, he is my father-in-law. If you guys never noticed this about Glenn Johnson, the next time you watch Andy, you will, right? He looks exactly like Barney Fife, okay? And we tell him that. That won't hurt his feelings, right? My brother-in-law is more like Shrek. I don't know if you've ever met Brian Franklin, but he's about 6'6 and 200-something. He's a big fella, right? Well, my brother-in-law likes to go fishing with a cork in a lounge chair and just wait for the cork to go down. And again, with my undiagnosed ADHD, I can't handle just sitting there looking at a cork. It drives me crazy. So I need to go bass fishing and just keep throwing that thing over and over and over. Well, one fish I'd like to go fishing for is salmon. And I've always thought it was interesting about salmon that they swim upstream to lay their eggs. Upstream, I mean, they're fighting some heavy rivers to get upstream. And the ones that die don't continue to swim upstream. Did you know that? A dead fish can't swim upstream. What does a dead fish do? It goes with the flow. And this world system that Satan has put in place, every person dead in their sins are what? They're just going with the flow. This wide, easy way, they just go with the flow. And as Christians, as we're going to see, we've been called to what? Go against that. Is it easy? No. This is the thing about the Christian life. It is so simple, isn't it? It is so simple. I can put the gospel in 3 or 4 minutes. I could do it right now if you wanted me to, right? It is so simple, but it is not easy. And so we are not these dead fish going with the flow. This wide way, this wide gate, this easy path leads to destruction. People don't understand that. They don't believe it. And when we, as the church, look, we try to warn people. My wife and I, when we got married, we proved my father-in-law correct, that it was not a good thing for us to get married. And we were on the edge of divorce, and then God saved us and healed our marriage. And now we step back and we see couples going through the same things that we went through, and we want to help them, we want to speak to them, and people don't listen. And you can see the destruction at the end of the road that people are on. Your children, your spouses, your grandchildren, you see the road that they're on and where it leads, and they just won't listen. They don't want these rules, they want regulations, they just want to be free. So now we see this next one. It says, we shouldn't enter this wide gate. But verse 14, it says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So now we have this narrow path that the Bible talks about, and this is the path we want to be on. This is the way that we want to be on. And as I said before, this way has a name. This way is a person. This way is Jesus. It's more than just a religious life. This verse is not saying there's a religious life and rules to follow that will lead to Jesus. No, the whole way is Jesus. And we know the beautiful thing about our Savior is he doesn't say, you know what, I am the way, and at the end you're going to live with me for all of eternity. Now do this, now walk this path, and I'll be waiting on you. No, he walked the way. It is him. And so as we're going this way, as we're following him, he's already done it. So when we do fall, when we do mess up, he's already got that covered. He's the righteous one. So even though we're walking this way and it's narrow, so now we have this idea of boundaries, limits, rules, regulations, we still are free. That's the beautiful thing of Paul all through Galatians. He's explaining to us there is a law, and the law's not bad, but the curse of the law has been removed. You don't have to walk this perfectly for the eternal life. And so there's this narrow path, Jesus, and we're called to live that path. The story of the demon-possessed man, Jesus goes to him. He's out of his mind. The chains can't hold him. And all of a sudden, the demons start recognizing who Jesus is, and they start saying, what are you doing here? What are you going to do? Are you going to throw us into the abyss? It's not time. Don't judge us yet. Throw us into the pigs, right? And so Jesus casts them into the swine, and they run off the cliff and die. And so then when people show up, it says that this man that was demon-possessed is sitting there in his what? His right mind. His right mind. So now he seemed like he was free because he couldn't be held by chains, but really he was controlled by demons. Jesus comes along, frees him. He's in his right mind. And what does he do? He doesn't run off to the woods saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. He looks at Jesus and says, what? I want to follow you. I want to be one of yours. And that's exactly what happens with us. Jesus frees us from the bonds and chains of sin and the curse of the law. He frees us from that. And we don't run around like the postmodernists going, okay, now I'm free, I can do whatever I want. What do? We say, we want to obey you. We want to follow you. And so now we start reading his word, and we see that there's a life, there are limits, there are boundaries that he has given us, and we realize this isn't to keep us from freedom. This is so we can enjoy our freedom. And so there's a way that we follow, and we start to follow it, and we go, wow, this seems so narrow. When I was on the Broadway and I looked over here, I thought, there's no way that I could keep that. That is not the life I want. But now that I'm on it, I realize all the boundaries are for my good. All these limits are for my good, and so we want to follow him on this way. The wide way, it said there are many, and the few, the narrow way, it says few. And that always reminds me of the ark and how eight people, God takes eight people on this boat and saves them. And the rest of the world living in wickedness were destroyed. And it's the same way today. We look and we enjoy the fellowship of a church, but we know that the majority of people that we come in contact with, that we see, are on this way of destruction that leads to hell. And so I challenge you today, if you go, Matthew, I'm on the way. I'm on the narrow way. I've been walking the way with Jesus for a long time, Matthew. My challenge is to you, you know that most of the people that you come in contact with are on the broad way. And I challenge you to share the way with them, to share Christ with them, to share your testimony with them that they may know. And if you would be here today, as we continue to speak, if you realize you're on this broad way, you live however you want to. You don't want any rules or regulations. You want to decide what's right for you. Well, today I pray that the Lord speak to you in such a way that you repent. And when we talk about these two ways, you get the perfect picture of repentance. Because when you're on this broad way, this wide way, this easy way, going with the flow like dead fish, and all of a sudden God does something in your mind and heart to where you now realize this is wrong, that narrow way is right, I want to follow Christ, then you turn from this wide way and start the narrow way. You turn from your sins and follow Christ. So those are the two ways. Quickly, let's look at the two trees, starting verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So, very quickly, I believe this is speaking about false prophets, you know, someone that would come to the church and say, this is what the Lord said, and the Lord didn't say that. But I also think that what we're about to look at for just a few moments speaks to false Christians, false believers. I believe that. I believe that what we're about to look at fits that category. And even here, when it's talking about just because they look like sheep doesn't mean they are sheep. Our churches are full of people who believe themselves to be sheep, and they're not. And the Bible is about to explain, well, this is how you can know. And so, yes, this is a good way to look at someone you know and say, okay, I've examined their life, I've seen them, I know them, and I don't believe that they are born again, and I want to speak to them about that. But even more than that, I hope today that you'll take this information and examine yourself, examine who you are, that you may know whether or not you are his sheep. It says in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. All right, stop right there. How many of you guys love fruit? You love fruit? I love fruit. You might have some fruits you don't like, but there's just something about a fresh, ripe grape or an orange or an apple or a banana or mix them all together in a fruit salad. That stuff is good. Strawberries, they're all good. Wouldn't you guys agree? Is there anybody that hates every fruit? There is one. Let me tell you something. My wife is the other one. Now, y'all are going to think something's wrong with her. But she hates every fruit. Every fruit. Now, when I say every fruit, you're trying to think, well, what about this fruit? Yes, she hates it. What about in this way? Yes, she hates it. On the rare occasion that we have enough money to be able to spend some time together and go to a nice restaurant called the Melting Pot, right, where they bring out chocolate fondue and you dip stuff in the chocolate and eat it, and they bring out apples and strawberries to dip in the chocolate, she won't even try it. Apple pie, she loves apple pie, right? But she just picks out the apples. She picks out the apples. It's crazy to me. Most of us enjoy fruit. Most of us think fruit is good. And he's going to speak here about fruit for a few minutes. And I really want you to listen to what Jesus says. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. This is one of the most important things, I think, for Christians to grab a hold of. I think it should be taught in churches, taught to people so that they can understand. Now, if you want to disagree with what I'm about to say, that's fine. I'd love to have a discussion with you. But I've seen it so much in my life, in people, especially of my generation, that this is their testimony. One time when I was 6 or 7 years old, someone told me, if you want to go to heaven, pray this prayer. And I prayed the prayer, and I grew up, and I didn't really live for the Lord. I would try to do good. And then when I was about 14 or 15, then I really gave my life to Jesus and started living for him. Now, my thing is, I know when I got saved. I got saved well past my teens, right? I was married. I already had a child, and God decided to save me listening to Glenn Johnson preach, right? But I had heard the gospel so many times. And so many times I decided, you know what? I don't want to be a bad tree. I want to be a good tree. And so I would say whatever somebody told me to say so I could be a good tree. But I kept producing bad fruit. But I was so convinced, right, that because I wanted to be a good tree, and I said I wanted to be a good tree, that apparently I had to be a good tree, and no matter what bad fruit I produced, I just assumed I was a good tree producing bad fruit. I thought that I was a Christian who just loved sin. I thought I was just a Christian who didn't really love the things of God. And I think that we have done great harm to almost an entire generation, telling them, well, if you want to be a good tree, all you have to do is say you want to be a good tree. No, we understand who does the change. God, through His Holy Spirit, does such a work in someone's heart and mind that when they give their life to Christ, He now changes the fruit they produce. So now I'm a good tree. And I produce good fruit. That's not boasting, right? That's just agreeing with Scripture. I produce good fruit. You could ask my wife, is he more patient? Is he more loving? Does he love the things of God? And I would hope she would say yes, right? Does he have the temper that he used to have? Does he lie like he used to? Does he lust like he used to? No. So I'm perfect, you guys. No. This is the thing. This is how I put it in Honduras. Because everywhere we went in Honduras, there were coffee beans and banana trees. Everywhere you look. I mean, to where we would pick coffee beans off the plant and chew on them. It's just a weird taste. I love coffee. It doesn't taste like coffee when you do that. But this is how I put it to them in Honduras so they could understand. If you walk by a banana tree and there's one coffee bean in that banana tree, do you look at it and say, that's a coffee tree? No. You would look at it and say, well, there's a banana tree with a coffee bean put there. That's out of place, right? If you walk by a coffee bean plant and you saw a banana on top of it, you don't look at it and say, obviously, that's a banana tree. No, you would walk by it and say, that's a coffee bean plant with a banana on it. And you could walk by quickly and remove that banana because it's out of place. So I'm not perfect. And if you're a Christian, you are not perfect. But when you examine your life and when others look at your life, if they see sin, it should be so obviously out of place that it's striking. It should be when I sin, not if, but when I sin, that immediately I go, that's not right. That's not who I am. That's not how I'm to act. And I act quickly to remove it, to repent, to receive forgiveness for it. When others see my life, everybody's still here. Just hoping I didn't miss the rapture or something. I don't know none of y'all's fruit, but my wife's here, so I think I'm good. It should be to the place where if you know me and you see my life, and you hear me use language that's inappropriate, that you go, Matthew, that's shocking. I know you. And I would have never thought that you would use language like that. It should be obvious by the fruit that we produce in our lives whether or not we are born again or not, whether we are good trees or not. We are called to live a different way, a different path. And so it should be obvious. It says, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And then this last verse, it says, so then you will know them by their fruits. And very quickly, so I can close, turn with me to Galatians. I didn't mark my spot. I think it's beside Proverbs. Galatians. I still use General Electric Power Company. Anybody know that? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just so I'm not the only one. Galatians, and of course we're going to be in chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Because I'd like to ask you, what kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of tree are you? The Bible tells us we can examine the fruit and know what kind of tree we are. Verse 19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and just in case you thought that you were clean from that list, it says what? And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I've forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm using the New American Standard, which is a great translation, but yours might read a little bit different. But this is what he's saying. These are deeds, or we could say for our discussion, the fruit of the flesh. This is living on the Broadway, doing whatever you want. This is what's going to be produced. Is this what we see from the pattern of this world? Absolutely. More and more and more of this fruit being produced. And it will not get better. It will continue to produce. Just like an out-of-control fruit tree producing more and more and more of the same tree. Is this your life? Now you could have something like this come up in your life, but all of a sudden you go, you know what, this is not me, this is not who I am, and we remove it. But if you're living in a way that this is your life, you should not assume that you're a good tree producing good fruit. But contrast this with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we know, if you know your word, it is the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the rest of this comes out of that love. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when we turn from our wicked ways and we follow Christ, because he's done such a work in our minds and our hearts, he has changed us, we are born again, we now want to follow him, we want to follow his ways, his word, all of a sudden we start producing this fruit, sometimes a little bit slower than others. I really have no patience with someone who says that they have been born again since 1905, right? And they have not grown in the Lord and they produce no spiritual fruit. I really struggle with that. And people look at you and go, well, people grow at different speeds. I understand. But there is a speed involved, you know? But there is a process. I mean, when I became a Christian, there were certain things that took a little bit longer than others and other things that I'm still working on in my family, in my life. But you will produce good fruit. You will. And if you don't, you're not saved. You are not a Christian. That's the truth of the Word of God. That if you live your life in such a way that you don't love the things of Christ. I heard a preacher talk about this. He said, the Christian life is not you having to do the things you hate and not being allowed to do the things you love. That's not being a Christian. If that's the Christian life you're living, you do not know Jesus. It is that I now have the blessed opportunity to serve my Lord in all my ways, to please him and avoid the things that he hates and I know lead to destruction. That's what I've been called to. I love Jesus. I love his word. I want to talk to him. I'm producing good fruit. And then just like I told you about the path and the way and how you need to let people know, hey, you're on the road to destruction, and Christ is the only way to eternal life. Think about this. You got a good, healthy tree producing fruit. What happens to that fruit? Naturally, what happens to that fruit? It falls down, right? And what's inside most of that fruit? Seeds. What do those seeds produce? More trees. Which produce what? More fruit, which produce what? More seeds. Is this not what we've been called to do as the church? To become his child, produce fruit that will produce seeds, that will produce more trees, that will produce more fruit. That's how the gospel has spread. And I'm afraid now that what we have are a lot of bad trees trying their best to produce good fruit, and we see no growth. Or we see good trees wanting to keep all the fruit to themselves, and that's not what we've been called to do. So my challenge today is this. It's twofold. Number one, there's always two types of people in this world. Sheep and goats. Good trees, bad trees. Lost, found. Blind, those that see. Dead in your sins and made alive in Christ. Two types of people. And you're one of those two. Today my challenge is for you to examine what road you are on and what fruit you are producing. And if you realize today that you are on this broad way that leads to destruction and you are producing nothing but bad fruit, that you hear this, the Son of God gave His life on a rugged cross, suffering the hell that you deserve, so that you might receive His righteousness and be found just in the sight of Almighty God. And there is no reason for you to leave this place today on the way to destruction. That if He does such a work in your mind and heart today, that you realize you're a sinner in need of Him. I pray that when we close, you will call out to Him and beg Him to forgive you of your sins and to allow you to be His child. Because I can tell you there's nothing sweeter, nothing more free than that. Taking a knee to Him as our Lord. And second of all, you guys that are the church, you're the bride of Christ. You have been born again. My challenge is not to just make yourself produce more fruit. I believe that's up to God. He's the one that is doing that work. But to make sure that we're producing fruit that produces seeds that makes trees. That's why you're here. Paul made it very clear. He said, which one would be better? For me to be with the Lord or to be here with you guys? I love you. I love you to death. You guys have been so kind to me. My wife is in the room. But if I could be with Jesus right now, wouldn't that be much sweeter? But Paul says this, but I'm here for a reason, and it's for what? Is it for my good? Is it for my benefit? It's for you. And so tomorrow, you are here for a reason and purpose, and as His child, that reason and purpose is to spread the seed of the gospel that we may see more trees produced for Jesus. That's what we want. Amen? Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. And if you do, if you realize today that you need Jesus, I beg that you would call out to Him. Seek Him. Turn to Him. He loves you. He wants to save you. And as Christians, maybe just make sure, God, please examine my heart. Show me, is there any fruit that is obviously out of place in my life that I need to remove? I don't want that in my life. Turn from it and ask Him to forgive you from that, and He will. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. Lord, I have no idea why You would save a wretch like me other than You love me. I have nothing to bring to You, nothing to offer You of any worth, but You gave Your life for me. And because You loved me first, I can now love You. Lord, I pray for this church, this body right now, that You would continue to use them to produce good fruit, that would bear good seed, that would find good soil and produce good trees. That this body will multiply itself for Your glory. Disciples making disciples. Seeking and saving the lost. Lord, we all we can do is share it. That's all we can do is proclaim it and pray that You will do the work. Lord, I also pray for those in this room right now who know they do not love the things of God. They love their sin. Lord, allow them to see that they're on the broad way to destruction that leads to hell. They think that they're living freedom, but really all they're doing is falling for the traps, schemes, snares of the enemy who wants to destroy them. Lord, help them turn from that and cling to You, to run to You, to seek Your salvation, to be washed by Your blood, to be adopted, redeemed, reconciled, regenerated for You. We pray this today. We know that You can do this today. Lord, as we leave here, we want to give You all the glory. As we celebrate this time of year, the birth of Christ, Dear Jesus, thank you for coming, Emmanuel, that you would come in flesh and live the life we couldn't and die the death we deserve. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.